Happy Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Welcome to Melville. It is good to be worshiping our risen Lord together this morning. This morning, we are pleased to welcome Ian and Margot to lead us in our call to worship.
God's Son was given so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We celebrate Christ's victory and the power of God's love to transform all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus has conquered death and is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. The old life is gone.
And the new life has come.
Let us pray.
Loving God, life is stronger than death. Love is stronger than Easter people, filled with joy and peace in knowing our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are an Easter people, filled with hope. Amen and amen.
Loving God, we confess that at times we do not share in the joy of the resurrection, but are caught in the worries of the world. We confess that we do not always live in the spirit of new life, but remain discontent, grumbling, and anxious. Forgive us when we do not share in the good news. Forgive us when we find it more comfortable to worry and complain than risk the joy and encouragement of new life in Christ. Call us back to your ways, O God, to seek hope and reconciliation, restoration and peace. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. Christ is risen. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is found empty. Mary calls out, "I have seen the Lord." We have seen Christ too. In every helping hand, in every heartfelt gift, in every choice to restore life in this world, we are called to this new life. A life of forgiveness and reconciliation. We are forgiven. Accept your forgiveness and know that God loves you and desires great joy for your life. Walk forward on this journey of faith, knowing that your brothers and sisters are with you. As we prepare to hear the familiar Easter story, once again, let us pray. Almighty God, through your only Son, you overcame death and opened us to the light of eternity. Enlighten our minds and kindle our hearts with the presence of your Spirit, that we may hear your words of comfort and challenge in the reading of Scripture, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's Scripture reading is the Easter story according to the Gospel of Mark.
Good morning. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Everyone loves a happy ending. After the dark and despair of Friday, And after Saturday's deafening silence, we can't wait to shout alleluia, to sing the songs of joy, and to proclaim the good news of our faith. And after 2 years of not singing together Sunday after Sunday, it was a joy to go through our hymnal and say, nope, we need to sing that Easter song, and we need to sing this one. And Shannon, I'm sorry, but we have to find a way to get that one in there too. Do you think the choir can handle it? So don't blame her, blame me, choir. We can't wait to get to that point of Easter praise. Though if we take a look at today's gospel account, we find that far from a happy ending, we get more of a cliffhanger. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the appropriate moment for my son's favorite phrase, "Are you kidding me?" While other gospel writers infuse joy mixed with confusion, there is no joy here, only fear and silence. How could this possibly be the Easter story that Mark wanted to share with the world? Particularly because it specifically says that the women didn't say anything, which kind of makes you wonder how it got there in the first place. But according to Mark, they were silent. This morning, some of us gathered quietly as the sun rose and warmed the ground enough to melt the newly fallen snow. And yes, there was snow on the ground at 6 a.m. Each year, there are two moments of quiet that I can count on: the walk over for the sunrise Easter service and the walk home after our 11 o'clock communion service on Christmas Eve. And I do love the sunrise, but I have to admit, I love a dark winter night. There's something extra quiet about that blue-white light with snowflakes falling and boots crunching. And here we are on Easter morning, and I got my snow too. But Easter morning is always like that. It's a little bit more unpredictable, a little bit more mysterious, at least weather-wise. But it's always just as quiet. And there's something magical about that quiet bird song that starts before the sun truly starts to lighten the sky. When I arrive at the church, it's still usually pitch black. Turning on the lights in the building is always a bit of an unpleasant shock to the system, so much so that we tend to only turn on those lights which are necessary. I actually don't like the dark. My mind tends to go straight to the worst case scenario of what those shadows could be. But for some reason, pre-dawn darkness is different. It holds promise, certain promise. Even as you stand there listening to the sounds that seem to be amplified by the light's absence, you know that the sun is hovering just below the horizon, and that the darkness will not last much longer. The birds know it too. They start to wake up quietly in those last dark moments before the sun. Everyone starts shaking off the night and anticipating the day that is dawning. I wonder how dark it was when the women stole through the still wet grass, heading with singular intention to anoint Jesus's body. They wouldn't have had the bright lights, that ever-present glow of the big city. So I wonder what kinds of birds might have accompanied them along the path, what sleepy tradespeople they might have passed along their way as they moved through the silent world as the sun began to rise. Silence, like darkness, is a powerful thing. For 2 days, the word of God had laid silent in the earth, buried in the tomb. The Son of God had been rendered silent by the force of death and sin. His friends were rendered silent because for them the cross marked the end of their hope. In the minds of the crowd and of the disciples, Jesus had entered into eternal rest, endless silence until the Lord's day. It was finished. It was silent. All that remained was to quietly move through the darkness, to love and care for their friend's body the way he had so lovingly cared for them. The women thought that their biggest problem that morning was going to be that stone. That stone that weighed almost as much as their sadness and grief. But they were wrong. It wasn't the sound of scraping stone on hard earth that broke the silence, but their gasps of surprise and the voice of a man in white who says, "Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He is risen. Go and tell the others he's gone ahead to Galilee." Don't be afraid. As silent contemplation is disrupted by most unexpected news. A jarring intrusion to a dark night, an early dawn, like an alarm in the middle of a funeral or a phone call in the middle of the night. He's not here. He is risen. The silence is broken, and in the same way as one being suddenly awoken from deep sleep, the women are probably disoriented, trying to sort out all of this new information that they are seeing, the linens, touching the place where he lay, and hearing, "He is risen." Trembling and bewildered, they go away and tell no one. And silence falls again. And that's where Mark leaves it. There are no alleluias here. Of course, if you have a Bible in front of me, you're wondering what I'm talking about, because there are probably 12 verses after this in Mark. And every single one of them is generally agreed to have been added after the gospel was originally written. They aren't present in some of the oldest manuscripts. Some have others. They use a different language structure. And it seems that we aren't the only ones to wonder why Mark leaves the good news hanging. The revised endings have Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. They have Jesus appearing to the disciples, commissioning them, sending them out, and Jesus' ascension. Different parts of the story that break the silence and carry the good news forward. And every version tries to tell a little more, tries to end it not with silence, but with joy. Each ending seeks the resolution that we so desperately seek. But what if Mark knew exactly what he was doing when he ended it in silence? What if a cliffhanger was exactly what the community needed? What if it's exactly what we need to hear today? Have you ever been in the middle of a book series and discovered that the writer has not yet written the next book, and now you have to wait 2 years until it's published, and then you have to decide whether or not you're going to spring for it in hardcover? These are the decisions we make because we need to know what happens next. One of my girls is in the middle of a fairly significant series right now, and we've had trouble tracking down book 2. The library wait list is just too long. And so she was so impatient that she ended up skipping ahead to book 3, which we did have, because she had to know what happened next. And so do we. We, like the world, long for proof that Jesus is risen, that his body hasn't simply been stolen as the officials in Matthew's gospel want the people to believe. How does it end? What happens next? The joy and the hope of Easter is that resurrection doesn't end, and we know that, which is why we're so uncomfortable with the silence. Resurrection keeps on happening again and again and again. And so maybe Mark knew exactly what he was doing when he left the story unfinished, because it wasn't over yet. Maybe in leaving it there, he encourages us and 2,000 years of believers before us to break the silence. We are called even 2,000 years later to shout with joy that we have seen the Lord. I recently heard a story told by American preacher Amy Butler, and she was reflecting on the power of an unfinished story. And this story is about a musician, a composer, who worked late into the night on his piano compositions, and he could not finish, or he couldn't go to bed until it was finished. Either the end of the movement, the end of the piece. Once he started, he couldn't go to bed until it was done. And so what happened is he would work all night long, and then he would go to bed in the morning, and his whole family would have to tiptoe around him while he slept. And his wife had tried everything to get his sleep schedule back on track. You know, work during the day like the rest of us and sleep during the night. You know, same number of hours. You can do this. Nothing worked. She could not get his life reoriented for him. And so one day, as she was dragging the laundry through the room, she noticed his piano. And she noticed that he'd left some sheets from the previous night's work, and he was sleeping and the kids were doing whatever. And she sat down at the piano. And she started to play the piece that he had just finished writing. And she played and she played and she played right up until the last bar. And she left the last note unfinished. And she got up from the piano and she picked up her laundry basket and carried on. And sure enough, within a few moments, she heard footsteps coming down the stairs. And her husband sat down at the piano and played that last note. And then got up and went on with his day. And so slowly but surely, every morning she would start by leaving a piece unfinished. And every morning her husband would get up and finish the piece. And the pattern of family life began to change. A little bit passive aggressive, perhaps, but there is power in an unfinished story. It urges us to take action because we want to know what happens next. Silence is broken. The music continued and a new pattern of life began. And so the question for us is, how will we participate in the coming of God's kingdom? Where do we fit our voices into the score? How do we work towards finishing what is started? Our shock and dismay at the women's fear and bewilderment, our shock and dismay at their silence ought to urge us to break the same silence in our own ways. Sharing the same good news that broke the silence on that first day of the week. Silence broken by the only words that could pierce it, that life has overcome death, that grace has covered sin, that Jesus has overcome the grave. In the beginning, Genesis tells us that on the seventh day, God rested. And here on the Sabbath day, the word of God was silent, buried in earth, in a tomb cut into the hillside. But today is the day of new creation. Today is the day that grace has washed away the stain of sin forever. Today is the day that life has claimed victory over death. Today is the day that the silence is broken. Last week, as we celebrated Palm Sunday, Jesus told the Pharisees that if the crowds were silent, the very stones would shout God's praises. Today, on the eighth day, not only will the stones sing praises to God, but all of creation. All of creation sings with one voice. The birds, the trees, every living creature joins in a symphony of praise. Every corner of the earth basks in restoration, in reconciliation, in the new life that Jesus has won through his death and resurrection. The silence is broken by the symphony of praise. Amidst the darkness, the brokenness, the sin and death of our world, Jesus breaks in with the words of life. The very word of God speaks to us, speaks to you and speaks to me, opening up the path of life. The path passes through death, through the darkness of sadness and despair, and through to the other side of eternal and abundant life. Silence broken by our alleluias, broken by our witness to the grace and life that God has offered to all through the life of his Son. So on this Easter morning, let us not be silent. Let us not be trembling or bewildered or afraid. Let us proclaim by word and deed the resurrection that we have experienced in Jesus. Let us declare through our lives that in God, life has overcome death. Grace has covered sin. Love has defeated hate now and forever. Let us, with the others before us who have wished to add an ending to Mark's gospel, tell of the ways that Jesus has appeared to us, the ways that he has called and commissioned us to share God's love with others, to the ways that God's life and light has broken into our lives, shattering the silence of our graves. Let us tell the story of how the Holy Spirit moves even now, breathing new life into every corner of creation. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us pray. In the joy and hope of this Easter morning, we sing alleluia with the fullness of hearts. Christ is risen, love is stronger than death. Alleluia. Lord God, in the joy and hope of this Easter morning, in the midst of our singing and shouting, we know that there are those who are bewildered and sad. We pray for those who have no hope, for those who suffer from depression, anxiety, loneliness, and fear. We pray for those places and people in our world where death and domination rule, where imperial powers ignore the poor, where war never ends, where children are hungry, where parents grieve because they cannot provide, where accidents happen and death abounds senselessly. We pray for those held hostage to addiction and chronic illness that debilitates. Lord, we pray for places which seem far away, holding all of these many concerns, and we also recognize, Lord, that these things happen in our own communities, in our own backyards, and in our own families. Lord, hear our prayers for those who are known to us, who are sick in mind, body, and spirit. Hear our prayers for our community and for our city, for our country, as we continue to move through this pandemic, where there are those who are awaiting treatment and care and diagnosis, where there are those who are sick and suffering and alone. Lord, bring your healing power, your comforting hand, your loving embrace where it is needed this day. And may we also go forth and share your love, even in places that seem unlikely or unworthy. Help us to remember that those are the places where Jesus would likely have been and where he already is. In the joy and hope of this Easter morning, we realize the depth and breadth of what it means to be your Easter people. For we are the ones who are called to go into the places in our lives and world to work for justice and life for all in your creation. It is up to us to bear witness to the promise of resurrection, to hold those in despair and to believe for them that love is stronger than death. In the joy and hope of this Easter morning, O God, give us the courage to bear your living love in every corner of our lives, so that your peaceable realm will be so here on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. A slightly longer blessing and charge than usual. When others dismiss your story as an idle tale, remember that you are resurrection people with Easter in your hearts. When the world seems to crumble around you, remember you are a resurrection people with Easter in your hearts. When despair would seem to squelch all hope, believe that you are resurrection people with Easter in your hearts. When it is hard to persevere against all odds, trust that God has called you a resurrection people. As we follow Jesus into the world, may God remind us that we always carry Easter in our hearts. Children of God, resurrection people, may the joy of resurrection and the hope of Easter fill your hearts and minds this whole year. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen. Happy Easter.